Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, I think it is, this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, Father, I give you praise for what you're about to reveal to us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I've been talking about finances in the kingdom. And last week, the Lord had me start talking about the giver's heart. And we're going to push deeper into some things this morning. And I need to tell you straight up that you need to have ears to hear spiritually. Okay? If I say some things, or if I read some things that when you first hear them, that makes you want to put up kind of a wall, you need to quickly let that wall come back down. Because there's a huge shift that is happening in our mindset, and we are aligning our mind and our thoughts and our ways with the way that God thinks. And what can happen, and this we've experienced some on Wednesday night, is our tradition can get us in the way, or can get in the way of what God wants to reveal to us and what God wants to do through us. Amen. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's go on. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. See, I had to say that before I read this scripture, see. See, that wall might go up in some. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, I'm not focusing on this morning, but let me tell you what the Lord told me about this. The reason why people have problems with these scriptures, women submitting to their husbands, husbands, what their role is in the body of Christ, is because they take it from the wrong perspective. See, what happens is that when you step into the body of Christ, then everything that you do in your life must be done in that, with that thought in mind, that you're doing things unto the Lord. Okay? Now, love is the foundation for everything that we do. And so when he goes back, let's go back to verse 22 for just a moment. When he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The real damage that the feminist movement has done has not been just damages to marriages and damages to the family unit. But it's much more spiritual than that. Because when you don't recognize, or when you refuse to honor like this command as unto the Lord, and you don't do things this way, then what happens is refusing to honor the way that God set up authority in a marriage and those kinds of things. If you will refuse to submit there, then you will not submit to the things of God. And what it really does is it hinders a person's ability to really move on in the things of God. See, because what's happening in your natural is a reflection of your spiritual. All right? Now, this is not just as it relates to wives and husbands, because the Bible says that we are to submit one to another. And this is not about a man dominating a woman. That's not it at all. 1 Peter chapter 3 says we are heirs together of the grace of God. We are heirs together. And so it is an equal marriage, but there's still an authority. It's the way that God sets up even the church, right? Now, let's go on for just a moment. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, the focus here is back on Jesus and the body. It's back on Christ and the body. In other words, everything that we do must be done in context of living in the body of Christ, with love being the focus. Now go on. Verse 24. Therefore, as Christ is subject unto Christ, or as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands and everything. Let's go on. Now, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the husband has a responsibility to love his wife. Come here, Jennifer. She hates it when I do this, but I love you. So a husband has a responsibility to love his wife in the same degree, to the same capacity, in the same measure that Christ loved us. Now, if I'm loving her that way and gave himself for us, give myself for her, she doesn't have any problem submitting and doing that part, because everything, it's love that's working in us, but it's Christ's love that's in us. See? Now, see, I'm learning some things about my marriage. First of all, Tuesday is our anniversary. Thank you. 25 years. 25 years. And so, I love you. She hates being up here. She really doesn't like this.
You're making it a little more difficult.
I am. And so, I've learned some things. Okay, you can sit down now. Particularly here recently. There was a time when we were dating, and maybe even shortly after we got married, but while we were dating particularly, and fellas, you'll remember this, that I did everything that I could for her. Whatever came in, you know, whatever money I made, however little it was, I mean, I did it for her. When I made the decision that I wanted to marry her and picked out the ring, you know, I put that ring on layaway. Every bit of my income went to that ring for her. You know, I was driving an hour up to Bluntsville to pick her up, and we would go places. But she, because of her love for me, sometimes she would just meet me halfway, and we would meet somewhere, you know, because it was quite a drive. But we did this for each other. What really shocked me, one of the first things, like our second or third date, we went shopping. She bought me 2 shirts. You know, and I've never had a girl buy me clothes before, but she did that. I later found out that my pink V-neck that I wore all the time, I mean, it disappeared real quick. See, she just was trying to get rid of a lot of the stuff that I was wearing, but I thought it was because she loved me. She just wanted to be seen with me, you know, and so that's what it was. But you know. And, you know, I told her I loved her and all of those things. And then, you know, shortly after marriage, you know, years go by, and I stopped being affectionate that way. Yes, Jeff, you're shocked, right? You know, I mean, it's like I didn't tell her I loved her as much, you know, or, you know, if she asked me, you know, a year ago or a few months ago, why don't you tell me you love me like you used to? And I just tell her I didn't change my mind. That doesn't do it for a woman. It just doesn't. And do you know that if I was to love her like Christ loved the church, do you know how much your father tells you he loves you? Now, see, I'm getting on the men now. Preach it, the women says. Here's what I want you to see. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me read it from my Bible for a moment, because we're going to skip down. that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And so, well, let me just keep reading. That he might present it himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, because he that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his flesh. Now, what is he showing us here? And he says, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Now, let's go on down to verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Three times he said that husbands love their wives. Now, I'm not talking about marriage this morning. That's not the focus of this. There's a bigger concept that you need to get a hold of out of this. First of all, in my marriage, the reason why there is difficulty between a husband and a wife a lot of times is because they see themselves inside of the marriage as two separate people. Jennifer and I are now one. Would you take a hammer and would you put your hand here and would you, because you're upset at your hand, take that hammer and just beat it? You would not do that. We don't inflict pain on our own bodies. So why would I do something to another part of my body, which is Jennifer? Why would I do something mean-spirited, out of spite, out of anger, to intentionally try to hurt her? It's because I don't recognize her as being part of myself. Now see, we are all members of the body of Christ. Amen. Every one of us. And so our relationships with each other should be looked at in the same way. That we should not ever intentionally try to hurt one another, because we are all members of the body of Christ. Now, with those thoughts in mind, and I'm going to come back to this, let's go over to 1 Chronicles. This is in the Old Testament. What had happened here in 1 Chronicles, and it may take you some time to find it. It's taken me some time. This is not a book that I read very often. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, let me describe what's happening here for a moment. The first king of Israel was Saul. Saul disobeyed the heart of God and his voice. And so God said, I am going to find a man that's after my own heart. And that man was David. And when Samuel was anointing David, he picked David because God said, I don't look on the outward appearance, I look on a man's heart. Now, this is very, very important. Because as we get over into New Testament living and into the way that believers should live today, it is all about the heart. Remember, Jesus said that, you know, if you look on a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery in your heart, or whatever it is. And he was talking about heart issues. Now, this is so important when it comes to finances in the kingdom. Okay. I haven't lost what the focus of the subject is. I'm about to show you a principle that I believe will change your whole perception when it comes to finances, but not only that, when it comes to everything else in your life. So David was a man after God's own heart. We know about David. We know about what he did with Goliath. We know about some of the things he did as king. We also know that he wrote most of the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, this guy was a praiser. He loved God. He made mistakes, absolutely. But he loved God. His mistakes didn't get in the way and didn't cause him to stop loving and going after the things of God. He kept pursuing after him. And so there was something that David really wanted to do in his heart. I mean, this was so important, but because David was a violent man and because he had killed so many people, God said, I'm not going to let you do this. And that was, he wanted to build the house of God. He wanted to build the temple. David wanted that so much. I want you to see what his prayer was at the end of his life, at the end of his reign, as he's about to hand the kingdom over to his son Solomon. In chapter 29, verse 1, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls and the house. Now, this is what David is saying about his own stuff. This is what he personally gave to build the house. This is in addition to what his kingdom provided for the temple. Do you know how much money that comes to in today's figures? $5 billion. $5 billion. Now, why is this important? Because I want you to see his heart. His heart was as God prospered him, as God caused him, he was, what can I do for the Lord? What can I do for God? How can I do things for him? Now, verse 10, wherewith David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. You, O Lord, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all. And in your hand is power and might. And in your hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you. We praise your glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come from you. And so of your own have we given to you. What David recognized is that the prosperity that he had, the success that he had, the position that he had, everything came from him. And so he did not look at the stuff that he had was, God, I'm giving my stuff to you. What he looked at was, God, Everything that I have has come from you. Everything that I have is yours. I'm simply giving to you that which already belongs to you. You've just allowed me to have it, to use it. And as we go into New Testament thinking, the Bible says that Jesus became poor that we might be rich. God wants to prosper his people. He doesn't want us to barely get by. But I want you to see, he was looking for a man after his own heart, and he found that man in David. Now, let's look at his son for just a moment. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7, when Solomon became king, in that night did God appear unto Solomon, and he said unto him, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said unto God, "You have shown great mercy unto David my father, and you've made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let your promise unto David my father be established. For you've made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this, thy people, that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your," what? Let's read it again. "Because this was in your," God was looking at the heart. "And you've not asked riches, wealth, honor, nor the life of your enemies. Neither yet have you asked for long life, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before you, neither shall there any after thee have the like." Luke chapter 12. I have to go to a few scriptures to kind of lay this foundation, this thought that the Lord wants to really get across to us this morning. Luke chapter 12. Verse 30. "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after." He's talking about food, clothing, you know, what you're going to, how you're going to live your life. All of those things that everybody's so interested in. "And your father knows that you have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God." Go to the kingdom of God. "And all of these things shall be added unto you." All of these things shall be added unto you. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." For sake of time, let me recap a couple of scriptures from last week. We found over in Acts chapter 2, when the first people got saved, that they came together and they were so in love with what God was doing, and they loved each other so much that they were just selling stuff, bringing whatever it is that they could, just to help people, just to be a blessing to people. And it said that they didn't even consider what they had as their own. Now, this is real love in action, okay? But we found in that place, and over also in Acts chapter 4, that the power of God, at both places where it said that they were going, or that they operated in this love, in both places it said mighty works, mighty miracles were being done by the apostles. Mighty works, the power of God, the love, the giving, and the power work together. Jesus said here, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now we're about to get into the meat of this thing. Hallelujah. In verse 13, now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I want to make sure that I say, that I go to the right scriptures at the right time, the way that the Lord has laid this thing out. Now, we are all faith people. Faith people. We live by faith, right? And we talk about what faith is. And because I've always emphasized faith in my own life, this scripture has been a little difficult for me to really get a revelation of. I'm just being honest with you this morning, okay? I mean, it's real easy to say, yes, the greatest of these is love. But do we really understand what he's saying here? Now abides faith, hope, and love. These are three spiritual forces, but the greatest of these is love. John 3:16, for God so loved that he
gave.
Love, by his very nature, when I was describing my relationship with Jennifer as I was dating her, out of my love caused me to give and to do things for her that I wouldn't do for anybody else. Says love for his girlfriend has caused him to do things for her that he would never do for us when we've asked him to do it. I just love that example, son. Love motivates you to do things. I think I missed something. Love motivates you to do things. And that's what God, who is love, did for us. Now, here's what I want you to really understand. When you, let me use money as an example for a moment. When you give to a ministry, you give to somebody, you give to a church, whatever it is. When you give, you know, Jesus said you have treasure in heaven. How does giving $50, how does that make a move from the physical, our natural, into the spiritual? How does that relate? Because let me tell you something. If I deposit the $50 into the church's bank account, the bank still has that money. And so that money never makes its way up into heaven physically. So how is it that when you give something, that there is a equal effect that happens in the spirit realm? Inquiring minds want to know. It is all based on the motive that is attached to the gift. When you do things for somebody, when I show unconditional love for Jennifer, something is happening emotionally, spiritually, at a whole nother level than just what I'm doing naturally. Okay? There's a connection that takes place between me and her. Love is the most powerful force that can operate in your life. Amen. Let me tell you how powerful love is. Love, God so loved that he gave. And the Bible says no greater love has a man than this, that he give his life on behalf of somebody else. So the ultimate expression of love was when Jesus gave himself on our behalf, right? Now, let me ask you, when was the ultimate display of God's power in the earth? It happened when he raised Christ up from the dead, according to Ephesians chapter 1, and made him to sit in the heavenlies. Let's turn over there and look at that for just a moment. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He wants you to know that that ultimate display of the power of God is now available to each one of us. That's what he wants working in our lives. Now, unto him, Ephesians chapter 3 says, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen. The measure in which God's power and what he can do in your life is proportional to the power that is working in you. Everybody knows that God's able, but it's according to the power that's working in you. Now, why was it that God was able to do his ultimate display in Jesus Christ? Because we had an ultimate demonstration of love. The most powerful force, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. The Bible does not say God is faith. It says God is love. Now, if love is the key or is the thing that calls God's power to operate, now we understand that when the people, as they became believers, started selling things just so that distribution could be made to other saints. I want you to see the focus of them for a moment. Number one, they weren't selling things and going and giving to churches to build their ministry. I need to show you that. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 1, or Acts chapter 2. I need you to see this because, saints, I'm telling you, I'm talking about ministries need to get a hold of this principle as well as preach it to the people in the congregation. And if ministers are preaching this to get people to build their ministry, then what they're doing is they are limiting the availability of the power of God in their ministries. In Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people were saved. And it said, verse 44, all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and their goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. So their focus was on other people. Their focus was not on building the church. Now go with me over to chapter. Well, and then it says, hold on. They sold their position. And then it says, praising the Lord, having favor with all the people. Well, verse 43, see, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I want you to see the connection. This is what was going on in their lives. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, in chapter 4, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things that which he possessed were his own. So this is kind of that heart of David, recognizing the things come from God. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses, they sold them. They brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet to help them build their ministry. To help them reach more people for the lost. They were doing this so that distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Their focus was on the needs of fellow believers. Jesus said that by your love for each other, the world will know that you are my disciples. This was not because the apostles sent out an appeal letter. This was not because they got up one day and they were, you know, doing a distribution fund or something like that. This was a spirit-led move, that this was the heart of the people, and this is what they just wanted to do. Now, I'm not preaching that you need to go sell all your stuff. That's not it. I want you, because this is what you need to get. Some people might take something like this and run with that and say, oh, well, for me to get the power of God, I need to go sell my stuff and give it away. It's not the action that produces the power. It's the heart behind what you do. Amen. See, the reason why God said what he said to Solomon was because what Solomon asked, Solomon wasn't sitting there and trying to figure out when God said, ask what I shall give you. Solomon didn't sit there and think, okay, now what's the right answer to this question? He wasn't saying, okay, now how can I get the most from God? If I say this, then God's going to say, that's a good answer, and maybe I'll give you this. No, 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 God, way too smart for that. He knows what's going on in your heart. That was in Solomon's heart. And because of that love for his father, David, and because of the love for his people, he asked for wisdom. And God said, now, because that's what's in your heart, you're going to get it all as well. Listen, when love is our motivation for everything that we do, when love, when we're looking at each other, out of love, when we're concerned about the needs of others, out of love. And yes, there's, you know, you also need to love the church and give to the church. You know, I'm not saying don't give to the church. I'm not saying that. But even that needs to be done out of love. And as love becomes the motivation, and as love dominates your life, and as everything that you do becomes out of love for others and love for God and all of that, what happens now is, because love is the most powerful force operating in your life, there is now that reciprocal where you have just tapped into the flow of the power of God in your life. Turn with me over to James. Got just a couple of more scriptures. Thank you, Lord Jesus. James chapter 2. Verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and has not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful for the body, then what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now, he's kind of putting this in context of helping others. I understand that. But here's the thing that you need to see. Your faith. If you believe that you've been made an heir of God, if you believe that God has given you the kingdom, as Luke chapter 12 says, if you believe that you are a son and a daughter of God, and that my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If that is what you believe, then faith will have a corresponding action that has no problem in giving to others. But if you believe that that which you have is what you have gathered for yourself, then when somebody needs something, you will not be inclined to give it to them because of selfishness, because of greed, because you may think that maybe they made a mistake in their finances and maybe they should do something differently, and so they need to learn a valuable lesson. Aren't you glad God doesn't think the same way about you when you make mistakes in your choices? So faith will have a corresponding action. Now turn with me over to Romans chapter 15. I don't feel like I'm really getting this across the way that I see it. Is it chapter 15? Let me see here. No, maybe it's chapter 12. I was just reading this last night. Yeah. We love chapter 12 because we always read, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind," verse 2, "that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me in every man that is among you." Now listen, what we're about to go through is heart. Somebody say heart.
Heart.
Motivation. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Somebody might say, "Well, I think I'm really am all that, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that." No, that's not what he's saying. He said, don't do that. And prove that, "But think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." In other words, every believer has the same measure of faith. God does not just pick people and say, "You're more special than somebody else." Every person has the same potential of God on the inside of them. Every person has the same potential of having the power of God operating in their lives. So when it happens, don't think, "Woo, look at me. I have arrived." Because as soon as you think you have arrived, the power will get shut off. Because God can call somebody else to arrive in your place. "For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office." See, every person is part of each other. "So having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us," stay in your lane of grace. Whatever God has given you, stay there. Don't pursue somebody else's gift, somebody else's calling. You'll find that when you do it and you get outside of the grace that God has given you, you will struggle mightily in your life. Learn to hear the voice of God and to know what God has called you to do and stay in that grace, and things will be easy. "Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches, on teaching. Or he that exhorts, on exhorting. Or he that gives, let him do it with simplicity." The Amplified says, "Let him do it in simplicity and liberality." There is a grace to give. There is a grace to give. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth with mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, when it says let love be without dissimulation, what he is saying is let your love be sincere. Let it be real. Don't let it, you know, don't just go up to somebody and just act like you love them when you really don't. And if you really don't, change your heart. Change your heart. He's not saying don't fake love, so just act ugly to somebody because you want to be real. He's saying get the love working in your life. Be kindly affectioned one to another, brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. See the heart? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not what you can do for me, what can I do for you? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. This is just the heart of a believer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. He's just describing just the lifestyle of a believer. Wow. I mean, it's just one thing on top of another. This is what we should be doing. This should be our heart. And what happens when my heart now is free from covetousness? My heart's free from my stuff. My heart's just free and just allowing God to flow through me. Then what happens is the power of God now becomes available to me. And now financial breakthroughs happen in my life. Because now, because I have segmented my stuff from God's stuff, then God hasn't been able to get through that separation to get you more stuff because of my heart. But now I step back. Now listen to me for just a moment. I'm going to bring this to a close. This is very important for the younger generation to get a hold of. Listen to me, you that are under 30. I'm talking to you by the Spirit of God. As I was praying about this, the Lord said that what is happening in the younger generation is that as they leave home and as they start making money in their jobs or whatever, they start allowing themselves to fall in love with that, and they see that as their stuff, and they lose this concept of loving others. The most important thing that you can do right now, as God begins to prosper you and as you start stepping out into the things that God wants you to do, the most important thing that you can do is you need to start talking to God about, God, what do you want me to do with this money that you've increased me this week? God, do I need to bless somebody? What do I need to give to the church? What do I need to give to another ministry? And that doesn't need to be something that is an afterthought. Let me go buy my clothes. Let me go buy this. Let me go take my girlfriend out to eat. Let me do all of these things. You know, let me buy my new Xbox game. Let me do all of that. It needs to be a lifestyle of what I have, God has increased me with. And as a result, I now want to live the life of being led by Him. And I promise you that if you will make that a priority in your life and in your finances right now, you will never lack a day in your life. You do not need to go through 10 years, 20 years of getting into debt and credit card debt and the things that many of us here have struggled with over the last 20 or 30 years. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do it that way because the world says this is the way to do it. I'm telling you, God wants to abundantly bless you now. And there has been a disconnect from the younger generation to the things of God. And it is God wanting to get his power through the younger generation. And I know that maybe that's hard, but it's truth. And I wouldn't say it unless the Lord told me to say that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray for a moment. Stand up with me, please. You need to take what was said here this morning and you need to study some of these things out on your own, okay? I'm going to tell you that what God wants to do in the areas of our finances is exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. David gave $5 billion. $5 billion. And some of us would be happy if we could just give $5,000 to the church and have that much extra left over. But David, it happened because his heart was after the things of God. And he didn't care. He just wanted to do what he could for God. Now, I started this out this morning talking about love between a marriage, a husband and a wife. A husband is to love his wife as his own body. She's part of his body. I should never do anything that would hurt her. I should never do anything that would hurt a member of the body of Christ, ever. Love, everything that we read in the New Testament is love, love, love. It was so powerful that Jesus said the most important command is you should love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Do that first, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else in the Bible, taken care of with those two things. That's why love is the greatest of them all. Love is the greatest of them all. Lift your hands towards heaven. Let's pray. Father, I give you praise. Father, root out of us areas of covetousness, areas of selfishness. Father, help us to see through your eyes as we look to others. Father, help us to have a heart that gives to others. Father, help us not to look at our stuff as our own, but to recognize, Father, that everything that we have comes from you. For it is yours. And as your son and as your daughter, I'm simply an heir of everything that belongs to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ke brokto shkrabate sikroto sungre kete shike. De brokto sungrate sikle menge. Dobra kete shikrate shukra nene menge. To sikrata sihi. De brakte shikrapa. Ke brokoto sunge. As I pray, an increase of finances will happen in your life. according to the increase of love that you allow to work through you. Old hurts need to be let go. Past grievances need to be dealt with. And if you have aught with somebody, you need to get it fixed. And you must respond to people in love. Many people want to hold on to things and continue to be judgmental towards people. And Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world or to judge the world, but I came to save them. And we should be lovers, encouragers, edifiers of everybody that we come in contact with. Well, what if they treat me wrong? Well, what if they do? What's more important, getting mad because you got treated wrong or having the power of God available at all times? Is petty disagreements and petty arguments and those things, is that important enough to you to stop the finances of the kingdom from flowing into your life? Is that important enough to you to stop hearing the voice of God in your life? Because I promise you, when you get out of love, you get out of the flow of the Spirit, and you get out of the ability to hear what He has to say. The heart of a giver is a heart of love. You get that right, the finances, that gets taken care of. Now, some of what I've said last week and this week there's a heaviness to it. It's very weighty because this is what I feel in the Spirit. It is something. This is not it's not a typical message that you would hear in a church. It's also not a message that is just, you know, kind of thrown together and, you know, wow, that's a great message. I'm learning how to describe what I'm seeing in the Spirit. Okay. So you have to give me a little grace as I do that. Here's what I see. This is something that God is very serious about. This is not something that you take it and you're like, yeah, that's a pretty good message. I think maybe I'll implement this in my life. Maybe I'll try to get to it. No. No, what God is saying right now, He is very serious for us to get right now. This is not something that we need to be putting out or putting on down the road or deciding on. There are some things that God wants to do in the earth today that He's not been able to do because the church at large has allowed greed to come in and has even allowed that greed to filter in through their messages as they preach to people about giving. And so what has happened is God cannot, because love is so connected to the power of God that when the motivation is wrong, then the power gets disconnected. And so ministers, you know, and some of them may be doing it out of the integrity of their heart. I'm not judging their motives, okay, or saying that what they're doing, you know, they're doing with the evil intent. That's not what I'm saying at all. I love the ministers of the gospel, and so this is not meant to be condemnation towards them, okay? I'm just saying that God is what, you know, if for this end time revival, there has to be a correction and there has to be a stepping into the things of God the way that He intended for them to be from the very get-go. That's why I keep going back to what we're doing on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, as God's wanting to bring back the church as it existed in the New Testament, not the church as it exists right at this moment. Everybody walking in the gifts of the Spirit. And so for that to work, and we've talked about it for years. We want to see more healings and more power and miracles and signs and wonders. You will not get there without this.
That's right. That's it.
Period. And God says, now is the time. He's not waiting any longer. Because there is a remnant that is going to catch a hold of this flow of love and that will walk in financial freedom like no remnant has ever walked in before.
Yes, amen.
I don't get this serious about stuff generally, but I cannot get past what I know that I'm hearing right now. Hallelujah. I could keep going, but I'm not going to. Okay? It's enough. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive your word this morning. And Father, I just mix faith with it. Father, and again, reveal this to all the people here in the name of Jesus. Help us love one another more, 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 more in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say amen.
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 It's good. It's good what God is doing in our lives. It's good. Now, there's still things to talk about, how to receive and different things like that. And we're going to get into all of that. But for now, we got to get this foundation. Woo! I'm excited. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.